out of the shadows and find that eventually there we are, where we are, and what we are is still family.
Our family segment this Monday morning begins with three wishes. All families begin with a wish to start a life with someone else and to create a new life one way or another, or adopt, or whatever the wish is. It sometimes comes into contact with reality, and you got to find some sort of a alternative plan here. Welcoming to the program this morning, and we could spend an hour with you three. Ladies, everyone there?
Yes, hi.
Carrie Goldberg, journalist and co-author of Three Wishes, a true story of good friends, crushing heartbreak, and astonishing luck on our way to love and motherhood. Also, her co-author Beth Jones, also a journalist, and Pamela Ferdinand, also a journalist. Let's see, the two of you are in Boston, and one of you is in Chicago, right?
That's right. This is Pamela. I'm in Chicago.
Pam's in Chicago. All right, we'll help us keep that straight. First of all, Carrie, this story begins quite literally with you describing something called biological midnight. What is that?
Yes, that's right. That is the deadline that I had set for myself early on. I don't know exactly how I came up with the number, but I decided that when I turned 39, if I had not managed to marry, I would go ahead and become a single mother. And I really never thought I would come to that point, but I turned around and there I was. And reluctantly and with a great deal of thought, I decided to go ahead and become a single mother. And I actually went ahead and ordered 8 vials of donor sperm from California Cryobank, the nation's biggest sperm bank.
And we're awfully glad that you did, Carrie Goldberg. And you were also, you were accelerated in your decision by a particularly frustrating breakup with a fellow who I'm sure is a lovely person, but I wanted to punch him, quite frankly.
Thank you. Yes, this was actually an unbelievable but true story. I was sitting in bed one night and got a phone call, and it turned out that it was my boyfriend of the time who had accidentally pressed send on his phone and called me, although he didn't realize I was on the line, and I ended up overhearing a conversation he was having with a friend in which he confessed that I didn't really attract him, which was something he had never told me, needless to say. So I went ahead and broke up with him, and that helped precipitate my decision.
Beth Jones, what was your moment where you said, uh-oh, this isn't happening?
My path was a little bit different. I had what was sort of a more conventional, linear path. I had been married when I was 29 and anticipated that by the time I was reaching 40 that I would be established with a family. That was not the case, actually. My ex-husband left me when I was 35 for his personal trainer, who was at that time 20.
You know, so, Beth, I wanted to punch him, too, I have to say.
I imagine a lot of people will want to.
All of your problem is you didn't have John there to protect you.
That's right.
I guarantee you that wouldn't have helped.
Certainly moved me forward, and when it turned out that Carrie had these vials available, and I had not met anybody by the time I was about to turn 40, I accepted them, and that helped me to move forward in my decision because I had seen that Carrie had moved forward in hers.
Pamela, what was your moment?
My moment was that I suddenly looked up from my desk after working hard in my career and realized that I was approaching 40, and I kept falling for men who either wouldn't commit or just wouldn't commit to me. So there's a few more for you to probably punch out.
Punchables, we call them punchables.
I, for one, have never, ever met anybody like that.
Never. No, I'm sure many women haven't.
I'm sure what Lynn is trying to say is that this is a universal story for professional women.
Thank you, John.
It is.
Yes.
And it was difficult for me because I'm this hopeless romantic, and I really assumed I would meet the love of my life. And so I didn't give up on love. I thought, you know, life's not linear. I can have a child, and maybe I'll still find love one day. And so that's what I decided to do. I'd seen what had happened with Beth and Carrie, and I knew I'd have their support and love along the way, and that made it a lot easier. So I accepted the vials from Beth.
Well, lest you think that this is simply a story of artificial insemination and living happily ever after, let's get into the details. So, Carrie, you ordered the vials of sperm, but it's what happened after that, and we're not talking about pregnancy, that changed your life.
That's right. So as I was sperm shopping, I was also still online dating, and it turned out that on the very day, actually, that those vials arrived in my clinic's freezer, I met the man who, after a great many ups and downs, would become the father of my two children and actually even eventually my husband.
Woo.
So that was why I passed the vials on to Beth eventually, because I actually didn't need them.
So basically, I'm trying to get an idea of this scene. Beth, Carrie says, I got these sperm vials. Could you do something with those, Beth?
Well, actually, friendship plays a big role in this, too, because, in fact, it was Pam who I knew before Carrie. And Pam knew that I was also sperm shopping, and remarkably, the options are unlimited. And so Pam introduced me to Carrie, and Carrie had already had her beloved daughter, and I had met Carrie really as a result of the fact that she had these vials to offer. And so Pam was really did this remarkable job of matchmaking between me, Carrie, and the vials.
But again, the vials produce a transformative moment that didn't involve you getting pregnant by the vials.
They did. I sort of went off and pursued my life and recovered from my divorce and discovered rock climbing and ice climbing and a whole number of other things independently. And then, lo and behold, after I had actually accepted these vials, decided to pursue this path independently, I also met the man who became the father of my child and eventually my husband.
And Pam, the same thing happened to you?
Same thing. I mean, I was fully prepared to become a single mother, and I accepted the vials, and boom, met.
These are magic vials.
Yeah, here's every woman in the audience is now asking, could I please have the vials?
This is Beth. They did go to a friend of mine, and she did not become pregnant. So it was sort of a back-to-real-life scenario that I think that part of what we believe really helped us was our commitment to the decision we had made, not that she wasn't committed to hers, but that we also had each other to help us move past this and through this together.
We've got a minute, ladies. It seems to me this whole story is about that moment you decide to make a decision and how it frees you. That's how I got married. I decided, boom, I've had it with this pattern of bad behaviors. I changed my life. I bought a piano, and 3 weeks later, I was engaged. But is that really the story here?
Well, we feel like there was some magic in that moment in which we committed to what we truly desired. And for us, it was children. For other women, it could be other things. And we're women who pretty much wanted conventional love, and we just found it in unconventional ways.
Carrie?
Yep, I absolutely agree. There's magic when you decide to take action. It just can be transformative. You don't know how it's going to turn out, but it could be a game changer.
All right. Who hasn't spoken yet is the last word?
Beth, I would absolutely agree. And I think that for all of us, it really did. It was moving through this together was extremely powerful.
All right. Well, the book is Three Wishes. I hesitate to say soon to be a major motion picture, but it's a great story. Carrie Goldberg, Beth Jones, Pamela Ferdinand, journalists and co-authors of Three Wishes, a true story of good friends, crushing heartbreak, and an astonishing luck on the way to love and motherhood. Only thing to say there is I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Lynn Scherer, and this is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.